Now I want to add some additional support material and go through mortgage assignment questions and answers. We have a mortgage assignment guide that has a lot of this material in it, but it's really material that the best way for you to understand this stuff is for you to actually spend some time memorizing all of these questions and answers. Some of my students just take the guide and they give it to the homeowner, and the guide answers all of these different questions and answers, but it answers a lot of questions that the homeowner may not actually have. And answering questions that people don't ask may end up just getting them concerned about things that they're not really concerned about. So it's really better for you to memorize these questions and answers and be prepared to confidently answer any of these questions that come up when they come up. All right, so mortgage assignment profits program, homeowner quick Q&A. These are the most common questions, and I'm just going to rattle them off one at a time. Can I stay in the home? Yeah, of course, it's your home. You're expected to stay in the home until a buyer is found and the sale is completed. You're certainly not required to. I don't know why people think that once they have the house under contract that the house is sold, and that's not the truth. The house is not sold until somebody actually goes to the closing table and brings their money and closes on the deal. Should I make the payments until the home is sold? Yeah, we really would prefer to assign a mortgage that's current. If you're behind, a mortgage assignment is still possible. However, the more behind you are, the more the buyer would have to bring to the closing table to make the loan current, and the less likely it's going to be that we can find a buyer with enough money to buy the house. So even if somebody started to fall behind on the payments, we always say, look, we think we can get this thing sold in the next 30, 60 days. If you just give us a little more time, you can just keep those payments going a little longer. We think we can get this thing off your books and you can go on with your life. Also, as a loan goes into default, a foreclosure becomes possible. So generally, if you're not able to keep the loan going, we can help, but it's really better if you can keep the loan going. Of course, if you really, really can't help keep the loan going, what we may need to do is we may need to do a short sale. And we can certainly help with a short sale. Often we can start a short sale program, and we can start a mortgage assignment program together, and we call this a combo plan. If we can find a buyer with a lot of money to bring the loan current and keep the loan going forward, we can sell it quickly through the mortgage assignment. But if we can't find that buyer very quickly, we can fall back on the short sale, and at least the short sale will usually help us avoid a foreclosure. So for more information on short sales, we've got other things on short sales on our website. We certainly have short sale transaction processing that we do for all of our students as well. So we've got a lot of resources available to help you with short sales and combo plans when you need those. Are there other alternatives to doing a mortgage assignment? In general, if a home has little, no, or negative equity, the only way to actually sell the home is to either do a short sale or a mortgage assignment. Otherwise, you're going to have to bring money to the closing table in order to cover all the closing costs, commissions, and any possible payoff shortage. You can always bring enough money to the table to sell it using these other options, but if you want to sell it quickly, and you don't want to have to bring a ton of money to the table, there's pretty much only mortgage assignment or possibly short sale. Of course, if you don't want to sell your home, you may consider negotiating a loan modification or forbearance. Now, let me explain the difference. If you've missed some payments, generally you can negotiate with your lender to put you on a catch-up plan. Maybe they'll let you miss a payment, and then they'll charge you, one and a half payments for the next several months until you catch up the missed payments. In some cases, you could also do a loan modification. Loan modification is where you actually negotiate with your lender to get the actual terms of the loan changed. So instead of paying 8%, you might pay 7% or 6%. Instead of paying $1,200 a month, maybe you pay $1,100 a month. A lot of people have been trying to go out there and get loan modifications. The truth is, most loan modifications are rejected. There's something we call the loan modification merry-go-round, and people often go down the path of trying to get a loan modification, and they find out only too late that the loan modification is rejected, and they end up losing their house to a foreclosure. But if you have somebody who just absolutely does not want to move, that may or may not be a good option for them to go after a loan modification. Now, one other comment on loan modifications, because some people try to do a loan modification and a short sale at the same time, and that's very difficult to do. If you want to get a loan modification, you've got to give a bunch of documentation to the lender. And what the documents really need to say if you want to get approved for a loan modification is, hey, I've got a good job, I've got a good income, I have no problem at all making a payment of $1,100 a month. But a payment of $1,300 a month, on the other hand, man, I just can't keep that going. And if you can't lower it from $1,300 to $1,100, I'm going to have to get a foreclosure. That's a little bit different story than you're going to give the lender if you're trying to get a short sale approved. If you're trying to get a short sale approved, the story to the lender is basically, you know, ain't no way I'm going to be able to make these payments going forward. I don't see this situation changing anytime soon. So I can't pay it today. I can't pay it tomorrow. Even if you lower it, I still can't pay it. And I don't have any prospects on the horizon to be able to pay it anytime in the future. So obviously, if you argue one of those cases or the other, it kind of makes you less likely to get the alternative approved. Okay, how does this program affect my credit? Well, like so many other things in life, it depends. You know, if you are behind in making your payments and or you have a spotty payment history, you probably already have less than perfect credit. And at the time the buyer buys the home, those payments are going to be brought current through the mortgage assignment programs. And just bringing the payment current is probably going to actually increase or improve your credit. So it may actually improve your credit when you sell a house through a mortgage assignment. And for many buyers, when the payments continue to get made monthly and in a timely fashion, their credit will continue to improve or at least remain unchanged. Of course, obviously, if the payments are late or missed, then your credit will downgrade. In most cases, although the loans remain in your name, the seller's name, the loans are treated by the credit bureaus as cash-neutral accounts. In other words, they're debts with offsetting credit. So as long as the payments are being made on that debt, it's probably not going to, in a large degree, hurt or help your credit. Am I going to make any money selling with mortgage assignment? Well, hey, in most cases, if the home has little, no, or negative equity, there's no money to be made by the homeowner. So don't get greedy. You're not here to make money. You're here to avoid the alternatives, which is having to pay money and or do a short sale or a foreclosure. Now, of course, if there is a significant amount of equity in the property, then yes, there are ways that you can make money on this deal. Usually we're going to talk about doing that by doing something called a wrap or some other variation or alternative strategy. Will I have to pay anything? Now here's a little tricky thing that we try to explain to the homeowner. We always try to get the seller to agree to pay some money. Most of the time, a lot of the time, they end up paying nothing. But you know, it costs nothing to ask. So one little trick we use is we say, well, normally we ask the homeowner to pay a $395 transaction processing fee to generate all the necessary contracts and paperwork and secure the payoff information and whatnot from the lender. So it's just kind of a fee. Depending on the home, the situation, the buyer's resources, the homeowner may or may not also be asked to pay some closing costs. One of the great benefits of this program is that most of the closing costs, assignment fees and commissions, if any, are paid by the buyer. The home is generally sold as is. Repairs are generally the responsibility of the buyer as well. So this is a really great deal for you, Mr. Seller. You know, we're not going to have you pay, you know, $15,000 or more when you sell a home that you'd have to sell otherwise. Now, all of the answers as they're answered on this slide, on this Q&A form, this is how we answer the question when we give them a guide that has questions and answers in it. If you're going to be memorizing all these questions and answers, which is a really good thing to do, you know, you're going to answer these questions in a more selective format. In other words, you're going to try to size up how much money does this guy have, and when he asks that question, you may ask for, you know, $5,000 or $3,000 or all the closing costs or whatnot. It's perfectly okay to do that. We have had sellers that we've asked to bring $5,000 to the table. And they said, gosh, you know, the realtor wanted me to bring $20,000 to the table. You only want $5,000. That's a great deal. We actually had one seller that brought $35,000 to the table. So we knew the guy had it. We asked for it, and he paid it. Never hurts to ask. How long does this process take? Well, you know, normally it takes 30 to 90 days. It could be less than a week. Most of the time it's actually used showing the home to a list of buyers that have already been found that are looking for homes like yours, offered for sale with owner financing. As with any sale, you can always negotiate the closing date. So, you know, it's going to be up to the buyer and seller to agree on when the house closing, and there's almost always some flexibility there. What are the odds of success? Pretty good. You know, in fact, we have about a 95% success rate in doing these things. Of course, there are many factors that affect the odds of success. Most notably, would anybody want this house with this payment? You know, if you've got a crappy loan and a crappy payment, the odds are lower. If the house is in less than great condition, the odds are lower. If the house is in a rural area or it's an oddball house in an oddball area, you know, the odds are lower. But most of the time, there's a lot more buyers than there are sellers, so the odds are pretty good. And it's always been true that offering a home with owner financing, as done with the mortgage assignment program, allows a homeowner to sell a home faster and at a higher loan balance than any other method of selling a home. What if the buyer stops making the payments? Well, if the payments are missed, you have the right to foreclose on the property and get it back. In most cases, it would be preferable, however, to simply call the buyer and try to resolve the situation. You can always call the lender and check, or check through their online loan servicing website to verify that the payments are being made. Like we said before, you can also get a loan servicing company if you want one, to collect the payments and send you a statement each month, or to notify you if a payment is missed. If you do need to foreclose on somebody, if somebody is not making the payments and they can't afford to keep the payments going and you can't work something out with them, typically it's actually not necessary to foreclose on somebody. An easy alternative to foreclosure is to offer the buyer the opportunity to give you a deed in lieu. In other words, you could say to the buyer, hey, you know, if you're not going to make the payments, I'm going to have to foreclose on you. And did you know that foreclosure is the worst possible credit scars? We call it the atomic bomb of credit hits. But if you would deed the property back to me and leave the home in the next 10 days broom swept clean, I will not foreclose on you. So you're basically giving the new owner, the buyer, a much better alternative to foreclosure. Remember what we always say, people will always pick their best option, even if it's their least worst option. So you can basically ask the buyer to give you the property back in exchange for you not ruining their credit as much as you would with a foreclosure. In all cases, if there is trouble with the buyer, you can also call the realtor and the investor that helped you sell the home in the last time. They will be motivated to help you get the home back so that they can help you sell it again. So in other words, what you're going to tell the guy is, you know, hey, if this thing goes wrong, give me a call. I'm going to help you get this property back, and I'll find another buyer. And of course, you're going to be incentivized to do that, because if you find another buyer, you're going to get paid a second time on this house. Well, what if the buyer trashes the home and then gives it back? This is one of the examples of a question that probably 8 out of 10 people never ask. I'm not sure I would answer this question unless I was asked. We put this in our guide because sometimes we get asked this question, and our guide is pretty complete. But if you're just handing somebody the guide to answer all their questions rather than memorizing the questions and answers yourself and making yourself the expert, then you're going to have to answer all the questions whether they ask them or not, and this is one of the questions you're going to ask. The truth is, this is probably the worst-case scenario. And if somebody buys the property and stops making the payments, you know, they're going to the seller is going to get a house back that needs repairs, and that's going to be a little bit of a difficult situation for them. So, here's how I'd like to answer this question. I always like to say, look, the advantage of selling a home through a mortgage assignment program is the buyers are actually buying the home. They're not just renting. In most cases, the buyers have a pride of home ownership, and they're going to care about this house much more than renters would. So your buyer is going to have some money that they put into the game. They're going to have home ownership pride. It's less likely they're going to trash their own home like a renter might. So that's the best thing you can say for them. You can also go on and say, look, if you threaten to foreclose on a buyer, you can often negotiate the terms under which the buyer will return the home to you. And we talked about that on the prior slide when we talked about deed in lieu. So, for example, you can tell a buyer, look, I'm going to foreclose on you, but I'll give you an option. If you clean up the house, fix these things, and leave the house broom swept clean in the next 10 days, you know, I'm not going to foreclose on you. Otherwise, I'm going after you. You could even sue them. You can even get judgments against them. But the best way to do it is to negotiate with them, get the house back in as good a condition as you can. And if the house still needs repairs, you know, you could also do an insurance claim if you needed. But regardless of the condition of the home, it can always be sold. It can always be sold as is. And you can always call, you know, me, the investor who helped you sell it the first time, to try to find a new buyer for it. What if the home has multiple liens or loans against it? You know, hey, that makes no difference at all. All of the liens or loans against the property must either be paid off at the closing or they become the responsibility of the buyer going forward. Before the property is purchased, the buyer will get a copy of the title report that lists what all the liens are, and they're buying it subject to those liens. So as long as a buyer is comfortable with all the liens on the property, you know, it's perfectly fine. Doesn't matter if there's one big lien or 100 little liens or however many liens there are. If I can't afford this home, should I declare bankruptcy? Okay, this is kind of a longer discussion. But let me just start the short part of the discussion. Sometimes when we're dealing with motivated sellers, very often they have financial problems, and sometimes they're considering bankruptcy as a alternative to, you know, foreclosure, short sale, or whatever. And I generally try to have a talk with them about bankruptcy and home ownership. And it goes something like this. I tell them, look, a bankruptcy does not avoid a foreclosure. If you have a house you can't afford and you declare bankruptcy, what's going to happen is the lender is going to file a motion with the bankruptcy court to have the home removed from the bankruptcy. 100% of the time, the court will allow that, because just because you declare bankruptcy doesn't mean you're not still responsible for making your mortgage payment. And then once the house is removed from the bankruptcy, the lender will go ahead and foreclose on the house. So all a bankruptcy does with regards to a house and a foreclosure is it very temporarily delays a foreclosure, but it usually makes it, you know, more likely. If you need If you have a house you can't afford, my best advice to a seller is sell it quickly, and a mortgage assignment is going to allow you to sell the house faster than any other program. And once you get the house sold, you know, for a lot of people, now they're going to be financially solvent enough to take care of whatever their other financial responsibilities are. But if you're still, even after selling the house, financially insolvent, at that point, then you can go ahead and declare bankruptcy. And by declaring bankruptcy later, you know, at least you're not going to have a bankruptcy and a foreclosure on your credit. You're just going to have a bankruptcy on your credit. A couple more things about bankruptcy and selling a house and what happens if a homeowner actually does declare bankruptcy. You know, a home cannot be sold or foreclosed on while it is in actual bankruptcy. When a homeowner declares bankruptcy, the lender will file a motion, like I said before, to have the bankruptcy court lift the stay on the home so the home can be then foreclosed on. Bankruptcy is a common strategy to avoid foreclosure. But the reality is that bankruptcy only delays the foreclosure temporarily and does not prevent it. In fact, usually it makes it more likely. All the fees and missed payments will pile up during the bankruptcy, making a foreclosure more likely and less preventable because all those fees and penalties have to be paid by somebody in order to keep the house from getting foreclosed on. And this usually leaves the homeowner at the end of the whole process with both a bankruptcy and a foreclosure on their credit, which is a pretty awful combination. If the homeowner's finances and financial problems can be mostly resolved by selling the home, I always like to say a mortgage assignment sale or a short sale is much better option than a bankruptcy. If a bankruptcy, however, is inevitable, then timing the mortgage assignment or short sale with the bankruptcy is critical. In other words, it's often better to do a short sale and or mortgage assignment first to get the house sold and then to do the bankruptcy or to coordinate the sale during the bankruptcy so you can get it started before the bankruptcy. The person declares bankruptcy, and then as soon as the house is lifted from the bankruptcy, you can complete the mortgage assignment or the short sale. That's better for short sales and not as good for mortgage assignments, because if you let the house go into bankruptcy and then try to do a mortgage assignment, because all the missed payments and penalties will pile up, it's going to be relatively unlikely that a buyer is going to still be able to buy it with all those back payments and penalties. We have a lot of experience working with bankruptcy attorneys while negotiating mortgage assignments and short sales. If you're considering bankruptcy, you know, we can probably help you through this whole situation. Now, I'm going to say one more thing about bankruptcy and foreclosure and short sales. This is a little pet peeve I have, and I always talk about this when I talk about bankruptcy. A lot of times when a homeowner's got financial distress, as part of their searching for solutions, they will go and talk to a bankruptcy attorney. And I guarantee if a homeowner talks to a bankruptcy attorney about bankruptcy, 100% of the time, the bankruptcy attorney will advise them to declare bankruptcy. It is the universal, fix-all, do-all solution to every problem that ever existed. At least that's what a bankruptcy attorney will tell them. And in my opinion, very often that's not good advice. You know, very often, if they just sold the house, you know, they still have enough money to pay the rest of their obligations. So a lot of times, it's really not their overall financial problem. It's really the house that's the problem, and they just need to get the house sold. So I tell them that, and then I end up in a situation where their bankruptcy attorney is telling them to declare bankruptcy, and I'm telling them, no, you just need to sell a house. And that's a tough argument to win, because if your attorney tells you you need to do something, a lot of times that's what you're going to do. But I don't give up. I do win a fair share of those arguments, but that's what you need to understand that you're going up against when you're talking to somebody who's considering bankruptcy. And it's probably a good question to ask when you talk to somebody that's got a lot of financial things going on. Is bankruptcy one of your considerations? And if they say that it is, you might want to have this little talk with them. What about the interest deduction and the 1098 interest statement that I get every year? Okay, let's talk about that for a minute. Every year, if you own a home and have a loan, at the end of the year, your lender sends you a statement. It's called a 1098 statement, and it's a statement that lists all of the interest that you paid on that mortgage during that year, and that interest is tax deductible. It's one of the benefits of home ownership is you get to deduct that from your taxes. Now, if you sell a home through a mortgage assignment program, the lender will continue to issue that 1098 statement, and it'll have your name on it at the end of the year. Of course, it'll be mailed to the new owner at the address that the loan is going to. And because you are no longer the owner of the home and the one paying the mortgage, you are no longer allowed to take that interest deduction. The new buyer is, though, entitled to take that mortgage deduction, and they can certainly do so. And the way they're going to do that is they're going to get that 1098 statement, and they're basically going to hand it to their CPA, and they're going to say, I bought this home subject to. This is the amount of interest that I paid, even though the wrong name is on the statement. The CPA can essentially take that statement and put it in your documentation file with your taxes, and they can go ahead and give you that, give the buyer that deduction. If the IRS ever audited it, you know, you can prove I own the house and I made the payment. It doesn't matter whose name is on the note. The IRS code says it's who makes the mortgage statement and who's on the deed, and that's the person that gets the deduction. Okay, can I buy or rent another home after selling using the mortgage assignment program? We talked a lot about this when we did the talk on the overcoming objections with subject two. And the answer is, you know, in most cases, yes. If you're buying, you may have to explain to your new lender, you know, when they ask you about the old loan that still exists on your credit report, that you sold the home through a mortgage assignment program. In some cases, the underwriter will ask the new buyer to sign a brief letter saying that they purchased the property subject to the mortgage assignment program, and they're responsible for the payments going forward. And I don't know why a buyer wouldn't go ahead and agree to sign that letter. Most people, like I said before, are not interested in buying homes after they sell a home that's a trouble for them through a mortgage assignment program. But every once in a while, sometime down the road, they are, and they can certainly do so. And our last few questions, you know, what kind of buyer will buy the home? And the best way to answer that is, well, possibly a person with less than perfect credit, but with income sufficient to make the monthly payment and a down payment necessary to pay the fees, closing costs, and the assignment fee to buy the house with the mortgage assignment program. It could also be a self-employed person that can't get a conventional loan in the current lending environment. There's even people like ITIN buyers. These are people that are resident aliens that have maybe good jobs, maybe even a lot of cash, but for a variety of reasons can't get a loan through traditional lending today. One last question, do my neighbors have to know I'm selling my home? Sometimes when people are in financial distress, they don't want a big for sale sign in the yard. That's always negotiable. We can say not necessarily when the home is sold through the mortgage assignment program. It's usually marketed to an existing list of pre-qualified buyers. We have a bunch of buyers we've already talked to that are looking for homes like yours, and those are the people we're going to market it to. We don't have to put a for sale sign. However, if it's okay for you, it's always preferable to put a for sale sign in the yard because that will attract additional buyers that will hopefully call you, the investor who's got this thing under contract, and give you a better shot at selling it or maybe selling it for more money even faster.